locked in, and we're gonna fade out the music. That's my new thing. I'm adding to the intro every time. We do the bomb, 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 bomb. I say we're locked in, and then I say we're gonna fade out the music, and we actually are fading out the music. And it's GloucesterCast 171. We have Sal DeStefano with us and Mark Ring. At first, Mark, you've been on the GloucesterCast a bunch of times, but you just kind of bounce in and out.
Crashed.
This is like the first time you probably got to make the the headline.
Yes. Yeah. Bottom of the marquee.
Bottom of the marquee. But now you're a headliner. And we also have Kim Smith.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And daughter out of Tony from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Yes, good morning, Gloucester.
That's tradition. I love it. Sal is here and Mark is here. They're both going to talk about similar things. Are we talking about the seafood show mostly?
Yes. Seafood show is coming up March 6th through the 8th at the Boston Convention and Expo Center. So it's our second year in a row.
Last year you took it to a whole different level that Gloucester has never done at the seafood show. This year, what are you going to do to top that?
It's even bigger this year. Well, the mayor sat us down and she said, I want to do this bigger and better than ever. And it was a huge challenge. So first thing I did was call Mark and I said, guess what? You're going to work now. We're excited though. We've doubled the size of the booth this year. We've added meeting space for Gloucester companies to meet with businesses that are there. Cape Ann Brewing is sponsoring a networking event Sunday afternoon.
Where is that?
be at the show at our booth. They're supplying Fisherman's Brew for people who want to talk to Gloucester businesses. Wow. So we're really excited about that. Of course, we're making the redfish soup again this year at Endicott College, Misselwood campus. They're donating their kitchen space and some help, and of course the Gloucester Fishermen's Wives. With Angela is going to be there, Mark's wife, all the volunteers are going to be there. Saturday making the soup, Sunday we bring it, feature it. We're going to be meeting with companies all over the world. And then Monday we have a reception at the Gloucester House. They're generous enough to sponsor a reception where we're bringing international CEOs from all over the world up and U.S. buyers. We're almost already full, a 48-passenger bus that we're bringing up. We're touring Gorton's Innovation Center. So lots of stuff going on, really positive stuff. We got a lot of positive feedback from last year. We actually have a welcome video that I would like to premiere here at on your show that where the mayor is welcoming everybody and showing pictures from last year. So it's a lot of fun. We're excited. Mark is constantly working the phones and visiting businesses, and we want all the Gloucester businesses involved as usual.
You put together a big like care package. Like, what are you giving these people, packets or something?
Yeah, so
a swag bag.
Yeah, so like swag bag. We put together a special bag for our guests that will be on the tour. So it's gonna be filled with Gloucester products. So if anybody wants to donate that, please let us know. We have hats, we have buttons, we have the lobster lollipops from my friend at Strawberry Hill Candy and emoticon.
Smiley face
lollipops, beer from Cape Ann Brewery.
Good morning, Gloucester sticker.
Yeah. Mark,
thank you for your props this year. I know you got left on the side.
He was going to forget me.
I would never forget.
At the bottom of the list. He's on my show, and I was at the bottom of the fucking list.
No, you're at the top of the list.
I'm joking.
Me and Sal didn't handle that department last year.
That's top of the list. That's honestly
we're going to have
Pumi
at the booth. We'll have him headlined at the booth.
People took a lot of them last year at the booth.
Yeah, I have to thank Frank Cellino and Chuck Shoebridge who make those stickers for us. So, see, I give props.
Yeah.
So they took care of me.
Right, exactly.
Pay it forward.
We're learning all the time.
Maybe you could put that on the
board. Sure. Oh, do you want to, if you'd like to, you're more than welcome.
I just want someone to take off with it, but it's a beautiful sign.
It's gorgeous, sign. Yeah. It's gorgeous. If you want, Mark, to take that, the sign with the seagull, the good morning Gloucester, it's a beautiful
for
seagull.
For the booth? Yeah.
For the booth,
sure.
Awesome. The right color.
Sure.
That would be a nice way to decorate.
We have another celebrity helping us make the soup this year, too.
Who's that?
Tom Ring and his wife are coming down all the way from northern New Hampshire.
Very nice.
Out of the woods to help us make the soup.
Well, Tom is the real deal also. Tom, you guys he fished on the Andrea Gale, right?
Hannah Bowden, Andrea Gale.
All those guys. Yeah, good friends with, who's the lady there?
Linda Greenlaw,
who wrote the books and everything else. And she's in the movie.
Yeah.
Is Tom...
So he's coming down to help.
Is Tom your brother who was there when we were filming the Snowy Owl?
Yeah. Celebrity in his own right.
Crazy, Yeah. Storyteller.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
Hilarious. No, storyteller like...
So it'll be fun making the soup with him and other people. I don't know how many students are going to help, but...
So we're going to have a handful of students. We're going to have chefs from our friends at Snap Chef who help us out every year and sponsor a bunch of things. Also wanted to give a shout out to local Gloucester seafood companies that are donating fish for the soup, Ocean Crest Seafood, Steve Conley's Seafood, Base, Case, and others. A lot of people are donating, they're getting involved. It's a real community effort, so it's great. That's
awesome. Last year was an eye-opening thing. Like was Savathia behind that last year? So Savathia, obviously has huge love for the fishing community, and instead of just talking the talk, she walks the walk.
Well, she goes into Boston, and last year they did a presentation making some more soup right at the show in front of about 300 people on a stage and everything else, and people just came from everywhere once they heard her little shtick going on, and it was awesome. I mean, she does a great job.
She's an incredible ambassador for the fishing industry, but like I said again, I really want to emphasize this. There's a lot of people that give lip service to supporting the fishing industry. Yeah. She puts the dollars and the effort, and she absolutely, garners community support and towards making a difference, not just talking about it, like feet on the ground, action. This is what we're doing,
it's
last year. So there was all these people last year that we met, they actually came to Gloucester. They pulled them from Boston. Yeah. All the activity in Boston pulled all these groups of big time seafood processors and buyers. But she got them their feet into Gloucester, taking these tours, seeing what we're all about, open their eyes, and I mean those are dollars coming that are gonna come back exponentially into our community.
Am I wrong?
I went there about 6 years ago
with
the chamber. They asked me to go down and hand out stuff, but it wasn't the big...
Yeah. I went there
and it was fascinating to watch the...
It is, because one thing I wanted to stress is it doesn't just benefit the seafood industry. You can't imagine how many businesses touch the seafood industry, marketing companies, shipping companies, right, Mark? Some of the companies that were there,
some of them weren't even seafood companies. Last year it was linked to the food show, so there were people you could buy one ticket and mix back and forth from show to show. That's not the case this year, but it's just so many different things. I mean, it's almost a tourism show, because there's a lot of people in Boston that go to the seafood show just to eat.
Right.
Not even in the business.
Oh, really?
As a result of that, I mean, there was more of a crowd around the Gloucester booth last year constantly than every other booth, and a lot of the comments were, well, they're one of the only booths that have fresh fish, because a lot of it's institution fish, pre-breaded, frozen, not that there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
Now, this year, on top of that, we're going to be the only booth that has alcohol.
Oh, with the Cape Ann Brewing.
With the Cape Ann Brewing on Sunday afternoon. So it's a big crowd, and there's definitely... It's hard after 1 year to track what the outcome is of it.
Right.
But you know it's there.
But not only that, we have companies like Gloucester Seafood Processing. They have a big booth under their parent company, Mazzetta, Gorton's also. So there are some other Gloucester companies there, and we're working together with them to cross-promote.
Are you going to be close together?
We're going to be... There's going to be a little bit of distance, only because their booth is... I mean, it's gigantic, so they have, their own section. Uh-huh. However, one of the things this year that we're doing with the expansion of the booth and the rental of the furniture is that if you're a Gloucester company, you could hold meetings in our booth without having your own booth.
Right. Oh, wow.
So that's the umbrella extra benefit. Yeah, that's what the mayor wanted us to do this year, is saying... She really wants to push the Gloucester businesses in a little bit out of their comfort zone and say, hey, let's get out there. Let's promote ourselves to the world. You're going to have your own space. We're going to share it. We're organizing that. But we're excited to offer that this year as a huge benefit, because to have your own booth, I mean, the cost is beyond what a lot of companies could afford. So if we all work together, that's a glosser advantage.
A lot of hands making light work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the day of the reception, once again, we go around to all the companies in Gloucester and get donations of fresh fish, uncut fish, and we set up a display with a dory. And every type of seafood that comes into Gloucester is in that dory. So these people that don't even speak English from Malaysia, Indonesia, all over, they were more attracted to that dory last year than anything else or anything that was said in the room. And they get told that if they're interested in any of these products, there's people in the room that will make them accessible to you. And I think that was a huge thing. Yeah. I mean, they all hovered around that dory all morning and took pictures and stuff like that.
Were other people, were other communities doing that as well with the fresh fish like that?
We have a big leg up that for the first 2 years that we're going to be at the show, we're the only city that's at the show from Massachusetts. New Bedford's not at the show anymore.
Really?
So it's a huge event. Yeah.
New Bedford used to have an enormous presence.
Wow.
We don't want to bring it to their attention or anything. It's a great leg up for Gloucester to be there without them.
But I think it goes back to your comments about lip service versus action.
Yeah.
And the mayor has done is put that money aside, you know, and the effort and rallying everybody together for it. And also this year, the EDIC has stepped up in a huge way and matched what the city put in. So we could do even more, like badge scanners this year, the rental of the furniture. We're gonna we're launching Gloucester Fresh branding. I don't want to get ahead of an announcement that will happen, but we want to promote what's special here. You know, the lobster as well as the ground fish that we have in underutilized.
We were talking about the get ahead of the announcement that we saw the grant came through.
Yes, but I'm saying
from
that
the Obama administration.
Can you get into that a little bit? Yeah, sure. So. We were excited that our grant application was selected by the White House Rural Council and the EPA for a grant called Local Foods, Local Places. And basically what that is, it's a technical assistance grant where national experts are going to come in and help us connect the great resource we have, which is our seafood here, to the rest of Massachusetts and see where the gaps are and try to close those gaps. But also for people that live in Gloucester, you know, how can we encourage people locally to consume more amounts of this local fresh fish that's delicious and good for you right here in Gloucester and address some of those gaps. Also bringing in, fresh produce from around the state here. So it's just making those connections. And the thing is out of 300 applications, we were one of 27 that won it. The only one in New England, the only one doing seafood, and to be recognized by the Obama administration for what we're doing is huge.
That's awesome.
And out of this will come a playbook that will show us the best way to move forward. You know, and I think that's really
how much
helpful.
Was the grant for?
So that it's a technical assistance grant. Probably the value of that is maybe around $40,000. It's technical assistance again. It's not dollars, but. Yep. We're going to use that to leverage more things. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's healthy to see what works in other communities throughout the country and have people say, hey, these are the sweet spots for Gloucester. You should capitalize on this. Mm-hmm. The mayor's been getting calls and emails from people around the state saying, hey, we want to help. We want to be part of this. How can we get involved? So it's really good, and it's another positive thing for us. You know, the Globe called yesterday, WBUR did an interview with me the other day. It's getting a lot of attention. So between both things, we're, you know, putting
so
many positive things out there, which is great. And a real team effort from the city and the community and businesses. Everybody's working together to make it happen.
That's fair.
So what's your official title with the city?
Economic Development Director.
Okay, so it's not just about fish.
No, it's everything.
Okay.
But this gives us a reason to get ourselves out there. And as you'll see in the video, when the mayor's talking, it's about seafood, but she talks about everything else, from arts to restaurants to dining to shopping to technology to innovation. And it's all in there in one. So it's kind of like we're giving out the free appetizer, hoping that they'll buy the entree.
Right, right.
So, as far as that goes, though, what do you see as some of the low-hanging fruit of things that that may be on the horizon, or do you think that we aren't taking advantage of now that we should start taking advantage of for the city of Gloucester?
Well,
in community development,
You know, there's so many things that are happening, that are being worked on, like housing production plan and trying to figure out how to just increase our availability of housing and build more housing. You know, I met with a rather large company, and they said, we love Gloucester, but if we move here, where are our employees going to live? We know that there's not a lot of availability when we're talking availability in rentals or just
right.
buying.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's limited. So what we're looking at is, you know, what are some solutions there to get more units built? If you're following the real estate market at all, you see in Boston, it's very expensive and people are getting priced out. And, you know, part of what we're doing is we're focusing on, you know, getting ourselves out there in a positive way so people consider moving their businesses here and moving here
moving
in general.
So here's a question, and it ties into, you know, what's potentially going to happen at Fuller and what's happening at Cameron's. Can you explain the difference for people? What the difference between affordable housing and
low income
and low income housing?
Yeah. Well,
in relation to
or subsidized, in
relation to the 40B applications.
Sure.
So, can you explain what the difference is? Because there's a lot of fear of people that, okay, we're going to increase housing, but it's just for people that are going to just drain our resources.
Yeah.
But I want to be corrected if I'm wrong, that affordable housing is different. Like affordable housing more for like people that aren't like that are still working and they producers and stuff like that. But
you're right on. I mean, this is not and you know, we have really excellent people that work in this area for the city, but just overall, you know, your thought is correct. We're talking affordable housing. We're talking about units where your income fits into what's called AMI, right? So kind of like you have your salary, you fit into a bracket, and then you can get access to affordable units.
Mm-hmm.
So these are working people.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people, our seniors, veterans, and others.
First time
home buyers.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that is, you know, it's vital for our community because,
mm-hmm.
like I said, with all real estate costs going up, it's great if you own a lot of property. It's harder if you're starting out or you're on a fixed income. So those are the kinds of things I think that when it gets out there, there could be a lot of confusion.
There's a huge misconception.
I'm confused. I think a lot of people are confused, and I just want to. I'd love to just set the record straight. Like, is there crossover between affordable housing and low income housing?
So when you're when we talk about the different types of housing with affordable, you're talking about, you know, the definition we just discussed. There's public assisted housing, which is different. And those are usually set up by HUD, federal programs that cover, again, good people who need housing, but there's two different things. And again, I'm not the expert in this area, but
what is the one at Cameron's? Which one would it fit under?
That's
affordable, right?
It's affordable, but there's always, the way I understand it, there's always an element when the builder or the developer adds a certain amount of low income, it makes his permitting process and his getting finances a lot easier. So that's why if there's 30, they mix in 8 low income, it helps in the permitting process in a lot of cases.
So and I think that there's also some confusion around what Section 8 housing is,
mm-hmm.
which is anybody could rent any unit in the city for rent, and have if they have a voucher, they get some federal dollars to support them. So I just think overall it's easy to say one thing is bad and another thing is good, but you know, the reality is, you know, I learned from volunteering when I was in college at soup kitchens and stuff like that. It was regular people
mm-hmm.
that went that we're using that to make ends meet. You know, yeah. I think there's a lot of things that are out there in the media that get people angry, but there's regular people that
yeah,
are working.
Yeah.
Multiple
we're working
jobs.
40 hours
exactly.
a week.
Right. So that's the reality. So
I just want to I just want to be able to correct people if, you know, when people start talking, you know, this people, some people talk like, you know, they give you the doomsday scenario.
Right.
And I just want to know, I want to be able to speak correctly
right.
as to what's really happening.
Right.
You know, affordable housing, you don't get subsidized.
No,
what you do is you get,
so let's say if it's a rental situation, there's a cap on what the developer or the landlord can charge for those units.
Okay.
So but in order to qualify, you have to prove that you make certain amount of money that fits in a bracket.
Right.
That's much different than everything else.
I think it's almost like the old rent control used to be, except I don't think you had to be a certain income.
Well, the rent control
rent
is
control
on the tenant, not on the
exactly.
Right.
So landowner.
And also that cap only I don't know what it only lasts for 5 years or something like that. It doesn't last forever. You know that.
But I know that a lot of students, you know, who are trying to get their first apartments, they have a job, but they don't have that enough of the income, and that really helps in first-time buyers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Well,
the AMI is annual median income, right?
Yes.
That's
right.
What makes a difference whether you... And I think it was around 30% or something
like
that.
Right. Those come out federal government. But those are some things. The other thing, too, is just our waterfront and what a great resource it is. And what we want to do is, you know, keep promoting that for investment. You know, whether it's, you know, innovative uses or, you know, boating, whatever we could do to, you know, fully utilize this wonderful resource we have here. And I know that that's really important for the mayor and a great selling point for our city is an active, strong waterfront.
I'd like to go back a little bit to the partnership with Endicott, because
yes.
you guys are going to be cooking the redfish for the seafood show at Endicott.
Yes, Endicott.
And it's a certain location?
Yeah, so it's their campus in Beverly. It's called Misselwood, which is a really beautiful facility. They have a large commercial kitchen. They have a dining area.
Mm-hmm.
They have so they have a hospitality management program, and that's something they're excited to work with us on.
Definitely.
A real beautiful, beautiful facility, also on the water. And they also helped us with some of the marketing and some of the branding and a lot of things like that. So great partnership this with Endicott.
Have they always had that hospitality thing, or is that something new?
That's a big program, though, for them.
I think even one night a week, the public can go there for dinner.
Thursday nights,
they do a buffet with the kids in the hospitality school.
And they serve
buffet,
you.
Buffet, different stations, and the public can go.
Is that the beautiful building that's right on the water?
Yes, Misselwood. Yeah, they hold weddings there.
Yes.
It's some rich person's mansion from years ago.
In the old days.
Yeah, their summer home.
But they always had that program, you know, the hospitality.
It's gorgeous.
It's been for a while, but
it's been forever.
You know,
I think when I worked at Merrimack, they had that. You know.
My mother was in the first graduating class.
Of Endicott.
They
right.
had one building at the time.
They've done all right, huh?
They've done all right.
I'll tell you, go up there to the new gym in the athletic fields.
I was at the new rink last week.
Jeez.
Oh, boy. It's
gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if I was a parent from like some other place and I was looking at schools, I would give Endicott a serious look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that beautiful, that gorgeous
beautiful.
Campus.
Yeah.
You feel like your kid's pretty
safe
right
there. Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think there's too many colleges right on the waterfront in Massachusetts other than that.
Johnson
and
Wales. Well, that's
UMass
Rhode
Boston.
Island. UMass Boston. Yeah.
That's a nice waterfront
that
campus.
Is.
But, I mean, no, there aren't many.
No, right?
No.
And that, I mean, Endicott has housing and, you know.
Beautiful.
So speaking of beverages and hospitality, Ryan and Wood was Bobby Ryan came down yesterday and delivered this this. Bobby Morris is a lobsterman
awesome.
From Rockport. His sister is Heidi, who owns where the Dory was, which is Fort Square Cafe.
Yeah.
But Bobby Morris bends lobster trap wire in the shape of a lobster. And we put a picture of Bex, or our friend Rebecca Borden, who actually made the Good Morning Gloucester sign that may end up at at the seafood show. I'm going all over the place, but it's just all these connections.
All connections.
He brought this. He brought this beautiful wire lobster for me, and inside of it, he has one of his three whiskeys that they're making at Ryan and Wood. I didn't know that they were making three different whiskeys. I thought they just had the whiskey, the rum, and the vodka, but they have the vodka, the Knockabout Gin,
right.
The Beaufort vodka,
the rum,
the rye,
the Folly Cove rum.
The Folly Cove rum. Then they have the rye whiskey, and then they have the wheat whiskey, which I just found out about, and then they have another whiskey.
Is this the doesn't whiskey take a long time to? I think it's just starting to come to the fore. It takes a lot, many years, doesn't it? I believe.
Well, I was at Eric Lorden's house the other night for a little party, and he had some 30-year-old people there, and we're sitting around. We're playing. Do you know the game Asshole? You ever play Asshole?
I know people.
No, I know a lot.
So we're playing. We're playing cards, and with these 30-year-olds, someone brought up whiskey, and oh my God, off to the races! All these 30-year-olds right now. I guess there is a huge among young folks,
younger.
It's all about like our generation. It was like rum and then vodka, and now it seems like.
Bourbon
and whiskey.
And that's
Daniels and
And how pretentious they can be with their knowledge of bourbons and whiskey.
And that's what our parents drank. You know, the whiskey.
The Canadian Club.
Well, for 40 years, I wondered how the whiskey company stayed in business because all our parents drank it, but then none of our generation drank it, but now they're back to it again.
Now they're back to it, totally came to it.
Old is new.
But Bobby says that they cannot produce this.
They can't produce it enough.
Like, you know, it's a long process to make, and it's fairly expensive to the base of it is very expensive.
It's a fun place to go for a tour,
and they sell out, right?
They sell out. Kudos to them and Bobby and he told me. So he also told me that they finally they went with a distributor because they've.
They're getting so big.
They're growing and they're kind of a bounce, you know, hitting the ceiling of what they could do on their own. So they actually expanded and went, they have a distributor.
That's tremendous.
But you go over there and you can smell the oak from the barrels. It's really interesting.
It's a great facility.
Well, for all these people that are you know, over the top, want to find out about it. They have, you know, it's just like, you know, people like a couple of years ago the craft brewing thing. Now it's the craft
whiskey
and spirits thing. You can, you know, Bobby, he loves it.
Yeah.
You go there and you immediately know how much he loves this process, and they'll take you a tour through the whole place.
Yeah, it's fun.
A huge industry in Kentucky tourism where you do the bourbon trail to all the bourbon makers down there, and it's actually as big as Churchill Downs and everything else because it's a year-round industry where people fly to Kentucky. To do the bourbon trail.
I want to do the barbecue trail.
Yeah. You're on your way.
Can we think about it? Okay, so want to hear a Google search that I did this morning? I'll tell you a Google search I did this morning. Google search, I just found out that they moved the manufacturing plant for Weber Grills to a place called Palatine, Illinois.
I thought you were going to say Mexico.
No. It's all U.S.
It's all U.S.
And so they have this. So they have tour facilities where you see them being manufactured and the whole process, which I'm very, like, you can see.
He's getting hot.
Very excited.
Here.
Very excited. So then you go from there. They have the Grilling Academy. Where you in Smoking Academy, so they have like the smokers, and the way they do it is they say, okay, start up your smoker and show us what you're doing, right? And you just do what you would normally do. And then the pros come out and say, and they just tell you what you're doing right how you can do it better, and like go through a whole thing, brisket, ribs, the whole, like,
It's like a class.
Look at Joey, he's so excited.
Class. You travel all the way down.
Did you sign
Lexington, North Carolina, then you finally end up in South Carolina with the yellow sauce and you're done.
I want to go so, like I can't imagine planning a friggin' trip to Illinois. Of all places. How am I going to sell that to Kate? How do I sell Kate, by the way, we're going to go to fucking Illinois. It's going to be awesome.
With a trail load of cholesterol pills behind
you. Joe, go to Chicago. Chicago's a fabulously beautiful city.
Everybody says Chicago's an awesome town.
Go to Chicago and then go to Chicago.
I wonder how close. Is that a big area?
Chicago?
Could it be a long distance from Palatine to
yeah,
I'll
I don't know. I'll
have to do
Palatine.
The Google Map.
Yeah, Google
I'll have to do the math.
Yeah.
Michigan Ave, I think, is supposed to be just like Newbury Street, right?
Yeah.
So, there you go. There's the South. Honey, I want to take you to Michigan Ave.
I'm going to go to Chicago.
There's the South. There's the South. Thank you.
Great restaurants, great everything in Chicago. It's a beautiful city.
Chicago.
Speaking of that, Joe,
now I'm hungry.
I would just like to say that this city doesn't know how lucky they are to have Sal. And you don't really realize it till you go to the show in Boston. And there's no one that has anything to do with that show that doesn't know who Sal is. Or Sal's bringing this one up or that one up. And it's all...
We've said this.
He knows what's going on. Everybody knows.
Sal, just put the money out.
I'm serious.
Only 12 bucks.
That's all I got. Okay. You don't know if you haven't been around the inner workings of all the work that goes on to do this thing.
You've said that. You said that many times to me. Yeah. I think we've said that on the podcast a bunch of times too. How
there's
a bunch of great people in your department.
Absolutely.
The team there is great.
You know, from the mayor, Jim, Tom. You know, my colleagues, Marie,
Carol Thistle,
Matt
Coogan,
Greg
Catamatori,
everybody, John Dunn.
Forward thinkers.
They're all, you know what I love about the group is you could come up with an idea and like, I don't want to say nothing is too crazy, but everybody considers it and they're like, all right, how do we do this? How do we pull it off? And everybody has an open door. Everybody's professional. They support one another. It's a great team, a great place to work. I'm really blessed to be there. But also people in the community, like you guys, like, you know, I can pick up the phone to so many people and say, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Can you help me? Yeah. And they're there. You know, Mark, it goes without saying, heart of gold. I mean, he's on a half a dozen boards or more. And I meet people around in the lobster industry. I was at... And randomly they're like, oh, do you know Mark Ring? And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, that's the guy. So we're and then he gets his poor wife has to make soup
on her birthday.
Yeah, that's a guy. And he's at the
it's only 100 pounds of fish.
But I it's a blessing to be here.
There's been a huge
turnaround from the culture of no to the culture of yes.
Mm-hmm. And the morale.
That goes along with that. Instead of trying to fight everything and hold everything back to try to embracing new.
Well, I think too that like myself, I moved here 12 years ago. It's a dream.
Yeah.
It's an absolute dream to wake up every morning and see the where you live.
Yeah. It's
but like you said, I think around here for a long time, the first word was always no, and now you've got a team where maybe we can do that. How do we work on it to see if we can do it? Not just, oh, forget it, we can't do that.
No, and it's from the mayor on down. That's the attitude that we have. And also reaching out, she's all about collaboration, whether it's with the governor in the state, whether it's our federal, whether it's Seth Moulton, whether it's Bruce Tarr and Margaret. You know, she gets on the phone and she's not the usual politician that you think is going to like, oh, let me see, what am I going to say? Let me take a survey before I say. Gets on the phone, gets people in the office, says, we need to get this done. And it's real collaborative. And also with other mayors, too.
Yeah.
You know, Mayor Walsh, we're with him on Saturday in Chinatown, and we're talking about doing things together. I mean, she's really great at that outreach, and we don't have a, hey, this is just for Gloucester. When we're talking about local foods, local places, whatever works here in our port city, there's no reason why other people can't copy.
Exactly.
We're all in Massachusetts. We're all together. And if we don't work together, other states will, and they'll take what's ours.
Right.
It's very competitive. We have an ultra-aggressive city here. where we're going after it, because if we don't, there's other people knocking on.
Woods Hole, for example. I'm tired of hearing about Woods Hole getting money.
Well, when it comes
money.
To science, that's
synonymous. Well, yeah, they have that big
I'm tired
down
of
there.
Hearing about Woods Hole. We need the science center here.
Yes.
Kim, you had a question for Mark.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was reading reading in the paper about the new expanded protected area for the right whales, mm-hmm. and I wondered how that was going to affect the lobstermen and the fishermen. So wanted to know what you thought about that.
It's already affected us as far as we had a few thousand square miles closed in Mass Bay for February, March, and April anyway, and we kind of saw this. We saw this coming because we knew they wanted to close a huge area down off of Georgia and Jacksonville, Florida, where they breed. But we didn't think it was going to be this soon, the whole Gulf of Maine, 30,000 square miles. But we did know that it was coming, and I asked John Bullard at a meeting about it last winter when we already knew all about it and it was in the works. And his answer was, I don't know anything about it. So it's being portrayed as a way to have control over big projects like, you know, gas and oil mining and everything else.
Right.
But the trickle down is that it can affect us, and they've already closed that area for 3 months. So could they do it to the whole Gulf of Maine at some point? Sure. So yeah, it's...
Wow, that's big. That's
huge. It bears watching because for the first time they permitted an offshore mussel farm 6 miles east of Rockport. The Army Corps of Engineers permitted in an area that was always one of the highest concentrations of right whales. And it's 35 acres with all this heavy equipment hanging in the water to grow mussels. So now that that's become critical habitat.
What's going to happen to that?
Well, I hope it goes away.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
because we weren't in favor of that project to begin with.
Well, what's
got
to
have balance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're on us all the time about entanglements and lines in the water, mm-hmm. and then they permit a project like that that's 35 acres with all kinds of stuff hanging in the water.
Yeah, that's not good.
So we'll have to wait and see how aggressive they are as far as trying to close any more of it, but we knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
And that's where, and it's in an area where you put traps down.
Well, the Gulf of Maine is from the Canadian border to Provincetown. So it's all that.
So what do you mean, what does that mean, a closure?
It's a critical habitat for right whales.
But what does it mean, closure? You can't go lobstering?
No, it doesn't mean anything right now. It's a critical habitat where there'll be another layer of...
Oh, so they'll be able to say, within this area, you can't do X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
For a certain amount of time.
Oh, it's just a matter of time.
See, for the last few years, the only critical habitat area for the right whales was Cape Cod Bay. Now they've taken it from Cape Cod Bay and gone all the way to the Bay of Fundy with it.
That's scary.
Yeah,
they've closed Cape Cod Bay for 3 months. So could they close anywhere they want? Sure they can. It's a constant battle with the green people, and then the green people threaten them.
Let me tell you what ends up happening, right? So this is what they'll say. The next step for them will be they'll propose something so completely fucking outrageous that everybody freak out, right? And then they say, oh, okay, we'll compromise with you, and we're just going to do half of that.
Yeah.
That's how it works. You know what I mean? Like, and you feel thankful, and you're supposed to feel thankful that they took half of what, half outrageous of what was supposed to be already.
They may finally start to get into Maine, because Maine has this issue. No one's done more for the right whales than Massachusetts. As far as trying to alleviate entanglements. Mm-hmm. We were the first ones.
Breakaways.
Breakaway buoys. We can't even tie a buoy with a knot. They have to be breakaways, so if a whale gets entangled, they can escape and all that kind of stuff.
Terrible.
We've gone to 10 and 20 trap trawls, which alleviates thousands and thousands of buoys in the water. The whole state of Maine, a lot of the guys still fish single traps, two trap trawls, three trap. You've seen it in the summertime when you go to Maine. If you fell overboard, you wouldn't get wet. You land on a buoy and just lay there, you know. So they, with this
they
critical habitat
the
that they're going to take right
shore.
To the shore, they could start to mandate Maine to go to longer and longer trawls and start eliminating end lines for them and stuff. So we'll just have to wait and see how aggressive they are.
Wow. That's, I mean, on the one hand, we're trying to do this great economic development. On the other hand, they're tying the hands of the fishermen once again.
Right, and then the green groups come in, the NGOs come in, and they say, well, if you don't, we're going to sue NIMS. Well, and see, as much as Nymphs and John Bullard will say, I'm not afraid of any lawsuits, they're deathly afraid of lawsuits from these big green organizations.
Because it just eats up resources.
Well, they have money. They have money that never goes away.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm part of Greenpeace, so I'm for the whales.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, because we need, the whole balance is all off. And all it takes is a little tip of the scale and everything's going off.
Well, the population is increasing. It went from 300 to 500, I believe. And now I'm sure there are more entanglements because there are more whales, right?
And it's very sad to see a whale entangled.
Yeah. Well, there's mathematical formulas for every species on Earth. And when you get to a certain point, that species can't propagate anymore.
Right.
And the right whale, according to them, was about at that point. It was 110, I think.
Yeah,
that one.
Okay.
Now it's over 500. That blows that theory right out of the water.
Right.
So it was never 110. And now that they say there's 500 and something, there's probably a lot more than that.
Okay.
But that's not many whales when you think about it.
I think it's more than enough.
There you go.
I'm a whale person.
Donna was at the, you were at the wedding expo,
the bridal.
Bridal expo.
It's the fourth one.
The fourth one. And it's gotten bigger and bigger every year.
Oh,
and
steep.
I drove past, they had parking that was overflowing. And then they had all of Gorton's parking.
Yes.
Because it was on the weekend, so Gorton's.
In Rose Marina.
Yeah, they were in Roses too.
And Roses Marina.
It was outstanding. I don't know the final count of how many people came in, but it was mobbed.
Wow, that's tremendous.
It was fun. It was happy. It was bright. The food was pouring out from Vinwood. I mean, from everything from pork sliders to the mac and cheese bar.
Oh, okay.
Did you put bacon, tomato, peanut
the mac and cheese.
Man, that
wow.
was good.
The mac and
sweet
cheese.
Sweet potato fries, arancinis. I mean, they were just, they were serving food from the time it opened until 4 o'clock when it closed.
I gained 10 pounds just listening.
Well, I grazed all
mac
afternoon.
And cheese.
Was that reservations with an admission fee? If you
the
wanted
admission
to
fee, I think was $10 for brides.
Very
it's
oh, wow.
very reasonable.
Very
and
reasonable.
I'm gonna go next year just for the mac and cheese.
Well,
you put on a wig.
It was outstanding. That I took pictures all day. The crowds of people around the vendors was amazing. It was, and they have a bridal show.
That's
you know,
so the amount of
show.
Money that probably is gonna like come into this city because of this one show,
right.
It's probably in the you know probably maybe $3 million because a wedding is $40,000, right?
So they gave away a free wedding.
And
they
gave away.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find the name of the person I was helping somebody.
Oh, because everybody would donate one thing.
Well, the cruise port. There was a contest, a raffle, for a free wedding. People were on the boat. People were upstairs, downstairs, and I'll tell you when it was over at 4 o'clock, that crew that Sherry has there could dismantle everything within 15 minutes. It was cleaned, things put away. It
was tremendous.
Wasn't it last week they just had the buoy auction? I mean, it's just one thing after another.
Yeah.
So
maybe next year we'll tell them we're going to renew our vows. Just for the mac and cheese bag.
Oh, that's so sweet. You should do that.
You want the mac and cheese.
His ulterior motive is the mac and cheese.
Never mind all the other stuff that they have. But there was photographers and florists.
Can we just say this? But the point I'm trying to get to is this is another example of the NIMBYs that didn't want this to happen.
I know.
You know what I mean? And it's just
and it's
how many people, all those vendors, do a ton of business because of that. Because we had that location.
Yeah.
We didn't have another location that could do this before.
They could hold
and
that
now,
people.
You know,
right.
And so now the new thing that I'm hearing on the message boards and stuff is that I told you so. The hotel, the new Beauport Hotel, they put in the windows so that they can just convert that overnight into condos.
Oh,
and I told you it was just being made to make condos.
Oh.
And it's just they can't
let
go.
Yeah.
They can't let go.
You know, like
I've
the song, let it go, let it go, let it go.
But they can't. But the same people are like will tell you that, like, Cruiseport was bad for the city, or like this hotel
You'd
is.
You'd be surprised how many of those people who cursed Cruiseport were there with their daughters who want to think about getting married.
Those
there.
Are the same ones that didn't want Market Basket, and you can see them in aisle 7 every Sunday morning shopping.
Drives you nuts.
Same ones.
Drives you
bananas. Well, I think when you're talking about low hanging fruit, this is an example. Those are all examples that
more diversified that we have our economy, the better. And the more we make it a year-round attraction,
mm-hmm. Right.
the better. Because then it's money for all of the businesses here.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about the hotel. Last year, Sherry told me she already had people calling her for reservations mm-hmm. for the seafood show before the hotel was even built.
Yep.
There were people saying, do you have any hotels? That's how big the show is. It's the biggest in the world. 20,000 people go. There's not enough hotels in Boston. They were calling her to make reservations
really
before the shovels were even in the dirt.
Yeah,
this
tremendous.
All trickles our way. Mm-hmm. We can all benefit from it. It's a great thing. We have to think open and positive, because I'll tell you, if we don't accept it, our competitors
Beverly.
Will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll roll out the red carpet.
Yeah.
There's other communities that roll out the red carpet and are aggressive.
Waiting.
We're not just as aggressive. We're going to lose those opportunities.
Salem's a prime example with the cruise ships and stuff. You know, they
ferry going back into Boston.
Yeah.
They jumped on that and that. Yeah. Not that anyone did anything wrong here, but they saw an opportunity and they jumped on the power plant closing, deep water and all that. And it's just got to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
We're always looking for ideas and wait. And it's another thing about you know, what goes on at the city is, when people have ideas and they funnel it to us, we look into it. We look into everything seriously, because there's value
there's
in
potential.
That. And there's something that you might hear that we didn't hear. If you let me know about it, we'll chase it down. And if it's something that we can do, we'll do it.
Well, I also think that Gloucester is in such a location that you see Boston from Niles Beach, from Magnolia Pier. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And
straight
it gives
line.
That, it is a straight line. It gives that feeling for people to be able to, I'm going to visit Boston, but I'm going to stay in Gloucester, and then I can still get, you know, Logan Airport's right there, and I'm, you know, we have
Logan Airport's right in the
it's,
middle.
It's a
you
nice
can see
trip.
It.
It's a nice trip for people that want to see something different
mm-hmm.
and the history and,
oh,
and everything.
There's
and
so
the
much
working here. Waterfront. You know, we were talking about the tours for the Ryan and Wood Distillery. There's also people, Iceland people were telling me, there's a huge business and people that want to see working waterfront and see fish processors, lobster boats. We might all take it for granted because we see it every day, but there's people
right.
who, you know, there might be
the harbor walk.
The
harbor walk.
You go
unbelievable.
To the state pier
people complain about the harbor walk. I'm like, how do you complain about the harbor walk? I don't understand how you complain about
the
harbor walk.
Well, there's sea glass in there.
No, but you get to walk around that place. You get the brewery, you got Mark McDonough's restaurant, you got the Gloucester House. It connects down to the Heritage Center and the Coast Guard Station, all that, and you get to see all this, all the boats coming and going. Mark ties up right at the base of where the brewery is.
Every day there's people there, and they want to talk to you and ask questions, and then they can't believe that you really stop and talk to them.
I know.
That's the most great. I said, well, why would people not want to talk about what they do? Even if you're a carpenter, you know, and someone asks you questions, but they're always amazed. Oh, I can't believe you take the time to talk to us, and pictures and the whole thing.
Another perfect example, the brewery, what fight they had to go through. Now, look, the brewery's there, thriving, employing people, bringing people from out of town, because there's a huge people that love artists and beer.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
travel to come to see it, right?
Oh, yes.
Then, on top of that, giving back to the community, they're sponsoring the beer for the friggin' fishermen for the seafood show.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just come on, you know, get your head up.
You know what I was thinking?
Circle of life.
Yeah.
With the Gloucester Fresh and everything.
Yeah.
At some point, it gets going. It would be a good idea to pursue. Is you see it all the time with foreign cities and stuff. If we could develop a sister city just for seafood, say just throwing out the San Antonio, Texas.
Sure.
And you partner with them and try to hook up with all their, I mean, there's 3 million people that live around San Antonio
right.
and stuff,
sure.
all the air bases and everything else. Just partner with them to see if you could hook into them and they get the bulk of all their seafood for their restaurants. Come to us. We'll make mm-hmm. sure it's a transparent shipping process and everything else. And then there's probably something in San Antonio that Gloucester could use, like, you know, fresh beef, Latitude.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Uses just this
grapes
from down in Texas.
That's a great idea.
You pick a city that's got a big population,
you know,
a lot of restaurants, and some of
the Patriots didn't make it to the Super Bowl.
But
when I worked for Mayor Menino and I was at the BRA, we would always have the bets between the cities.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I would I would tap into some of the Boston seafood mm-hmm. That we had, and we would do a challenge
right,
in another
right,
city.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was hoping we could do that, where the mayor could challenge another
Denver.
Mayor, and then we could
yep.
say, hey, I'll bet you.
What do they have down in Carolina? Pulled pork?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to give them lobster, and they're going to give us pulled pork?
I didn't say
it's
Carolina.
It's like 99 cents for a pulled pork butt.
I didn't say
I'm
Carolina.
Saying,
I'm
no,
talking
no.
those 3-inch porters.
Yeah, now you're talking. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
But it's just a, you know.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea.
Those are kinds of things that, you know, it doesn't cost a lot of money to do that. It's
right.
It's more of connections and contacts.
And they want the product.
And they want, you know, mm-hmm. Those are kinds of things that we want to promote and keep doing and keep things going in a positive direction. I know Gloucester is poised for, you know, for taking advantage of all the positive things that are going on throughout Massachusetts. We have a beautiful place here. It sells itself
mm-hmm.
once you get people here, and that's what we got to keep pushing on and work on positive things like this and getting the positive that's out there, because there's a saying, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yep.
You know, we got to work hard to put the positive out there, because
yep.
there's great people in this community, and they deserve that.
And if you, I mean, I'm in the computer business, but if a successful business that sells lobsters or has a hotel succeeds, that they come to me.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, it's
yeah.
that circle.
And that's the other thing with this show and what you're doing, and also we're doing Twitter and other things. If people send me a picture or a clip or something that they want to get out there that's positive, if it fits with what we're doing, I'm happy to tweet that out.
Mm.
You know, we got to get out there. We got to keep being
yeah.
aggressive.
Yeah.
And because that's how the word spreads these days, is through social media and doing things like podcasts and getting pictures out there. I'd love
yep.
to take a picture of you talking to some visitors, you know, getting on the boat, because those are the special things about this city that you can't find anywhere else.
What is the name of your boat?
Stanley Thomas.
Oh, I take pictures of you all.
The mighty Stanley Thomas. The red one. The
beautiful
red one.
It is the prettiest boat.
Looks good. 100 yards on a galloping horse. It looks great. Don't get too close.
It's got
Don't
the
put
pretty
that long lens on.
Mark, you wanted to put something out there about the trash receptacles at the landings?
Well, it was just, not a negative or anything, but I think it's time it got re-looked at in the city to put trash receptacles at the town landings. Cripple Cove. When the Harbor Master's office is done, and Town Landing, for the recreational people, not for the commercial fishermen, just for the recreational.
Hmm.
Because there's more and more people down there, and they're using it a lot. We come down on weekends, and Sunday morning or Monday morning, there's just pizza boxes, and they got to be good receptacles, because the seagulls will get into
them.
Oh,
yeah,
because
I've seen bags there.
But it's not
yeah,
a lot of work for the city to be able to empty these either. If they're just barrels that have covers on them, because they can back right in there. But you know from being around, there's a lot of trash accumulates because people don't want to take it back out on their boat.
Right.
Or if they do, there's a fraction that would throw it overboard.
Don't
so,
go and also,
well, it's the way it is.
If they're coming in on a boat, they don't really understand our carry in, carry out policy type of
well,
thing.
Well, they shouldn't. I think it's time it went away as far as boats are concerned. That was for the beach, and that's
for
a different
beach.
Issue.
The beach is okay
thing.
Because...
Yeah, that's fine.
It's really weird. When you see a trash barrel, because I pick up all the time,
yeah,
there's still people, they leave it outside the trash barrel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
they leave
really?
It next to
well, and there's a lot of people that come by boat, they go uptown, they get sandwiches, pizzas and stuff like, come back down and sit on those benches
yeah.
behind the brew pub and eat, and then they're not going to carry that trash down and take it on
you
the
know
boat.
What?
I give people yellow bags all the time.
I think one of the challenges in my previous neighborhood where I lived in Boston, what happens sometimes is even, no matter what the city puts out, if people abuse it
oh, yeah.
and say, oh, now there's a place for you to put, and they take household trash
oh.
out, they don't dispose of it properly,
yep.
and it just becomes like this never-ending
right.
battle. So what they did in Boston is they stepped up enforcement
mm-hmm.
with people, you know, illegally dumping and stuff like that. And it's always a challenge for municipality, because the bigger you make something, it seems like the more
yeah.
trash.
Right,
right,
exactly.
And then if people don't dispose of something properly, it will attract
oh, yeah.
seagulls and other other things.
And it already is, because it's around the ground. But there's already yeah. cameras at St. Peter's.
Yeah. yeah.
Well,
so,
you know, the
so
city has, someone dumped in Magnolia Woods, they were redoing their kitchen, and they dumped all their old granite, okay?
Oh, my God.
Someone took a picture, put it on Facebook. Someone said, I know whose that is. They called the police. They called the DPW. They marched down, gave that person a huge fine. They had to pick it up, and the police were there. And I was given that kudos, kudos, kudos.
Yeah.
I mean, for goodness
sake. Something good finally came out of Facebook, Joe.
I'll tell you, don't get started with me with illegal dumping down here.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to guys at DPW who work hard to clean that stuff up and ask people, you know, respect your community when you're disposing of your trash.
I mean, I live in Magnolia. We had one of those big berthas, I called it, you know, down on the landing. And they went and emptied it, and there were magazines and trash from people who lived in Manchester.
That doesn't surprise me. Wait, here's a question.
Aww. Those damn Manchester people are at it again.
Donna, you would know that. You would, I think, because you're in the clean litter people things. So what is the verdict on the solar-powered trash buckets that are around town?
Well, some people think that we don't maintain them enough. I like them. But the big problem is they're not being maintained properly.
So they're not working or what?
Well, you see a lot of times the red light on them, meaning that they're too full, and they're not getting maintained properly enough. I think that if they got maintained a little bit better, and I think another company has to do that, whoever puts them there.
So
because it does work. I mean, it squishes.
It compacts it. Yeah.
But the problem is, like, in front of, I think it was Mary Sargent House, it's always full. And then people can't open it up, and it's kind of gross.
Who dumps them? RDPW?
I don't think so.
It's a different company because it's part of,
but I think they work, but if...
They need to be empty.
Well, you're hearing some kickback because it says solar on it. So no matter what it is, you're going to
you're
in for
exactly.
That. But I'm asking you. I'm not asking if you like it because it says solar on it. I'm asking, are they effective and are they a good idea?
I think they're more effective than a regular trash barrel because the seagulls can't get in it. They don't get knocked over in the wind. You know,
probably full of Manchester magazines.
But I'm saying that because the person left their name on it. They left their name on the magazines. So they went and
Brilliant. Darwin Award people.
Brilliant.
All right.
I grew up in Manchester.
Oh, I'm not saying anything about Manchester.
Yes, you did.
I'm just saying, don't put your household trash.
Well, there you go. That's GloucesterCast 171. Great to have you guys here. Kim Smith, Sal DiStefano, Donna Arizoni, and Mark Rinn. I'm your host, Joey Cimitaro. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you.